Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is another gorgeous day in New York City. Yankees, Orioles later tonight. The Mets, who continue to roll against the Diamondbacks. Game 2 later today. We'll get into the baseball as the show rolls on. And coming up in 10 minutes, someone else that's getting a lot of blame for last night's Knick loss, and it isn't your normal critics. It isn't Tom Thibodeau, who's getting plenty of heat, or Jalen Brunson, who had an off night, or Karl Anthony Towns. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but obviously a lot of Knick discussion as they lose Game 5, first round, chance to close the team out for the second straight year. And you have to admit, the vibes of losing this Game 5 is very different than the vibes from last year.
Yeah, I think it's different because of the rivalry with the 76ers. And look, Joel Embiid was playing. Tyrese Maxey's one of the best players, young players in basketball. So you could understand it in a sense. The Pistons, who are so up and coming, we know they're going to be good in years to come and good coaching, everything else. But the Knicks should have had control of this game. They should have stomped them like we all predicted, and it just never happened. It never was a runaway either way, and that's frustrating because the Knicks on paper are so much better than the Pistons are.
No doubt. Let's go to Rich in South Jersey. How are you, Rich?
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Good. I got about 4 points, so if you'll let me make
them. Number one.
Number one, timeouts. Knicks took a timeout with 5 minutes to go. Took another timeout with 4 minutes to go. Then they took the timeout when they got hurt 3 minutes to go, and they wouldn't take the one to save enough time to get Brunson into the game.
Right.
That's Thibodeau. Number two, the one who has to take a lot of blame, and then I'll go into why, is Leon Rose.
It's for game day.
Idiotic trade.
Which idiotic trade are you talking about? Speak to me, bro.
Five first-round picks.
Say it again.
For Malik Bridges.
Say it louder. What horrible trade did he say, Tiki?
He said the Mikal Bridges trade.
Was that trade he was talking about?
But why does that matter for right now?
So you're right. You're actually, Teague, you're spot on. Okay? And I actually said this on a Rico Bronya earlier today. And that is, Met fans, when you're watching Juan Soto, and he's making everyone around them better, despite not putting up massive numbers, and the Mets are winning, who cares how much money he makes?
Right, exactly. Doesn't matter.
If Mikal Bridges is making winning plays, and he did make a few of them towards the end of Game 4, then who cares how many picks he gave up? Or is he helping you win?
Right.
In the midst of this, in the midst of a playoff series, don't get nuts about money and how many picks you gave up.
Right, that doesn't matter right now, especially because, I mean, look, he made some shots in this game, Mikal Bridges. And so, like, he's a good player. He's been a good defender in this series. So it's not as if he's the reason that you're losing. And if the five picks mean something, it's not right now.
No, it's not now. It's like the same thing we had a caller earlier, JR, who's a great Knicks fan, who said, I got to get rid of Towns.
That's a discussion for potentially Monday.
Right.
Potentially, if you get knocked out in the first round, or 2 weeks from now, if you lose to Boston. The offseason discussion is going to be great. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fantastic. But you're up 3-2.
Right. Exactly. You still have every chance to win this. And one more game at home if it comes to a game seven. So, look, is it frustrating because the Knicks should have not won this series easily, but they should have won this series. And they don't feel like they have a killer instinct.
Well,
and that's what frustrates you.
So speaking of which, I got on the fact that game five up 3-1, especially the way you won game four, come out and crush them.
Right.
At a loud Madison Square Garden. They didn't do that. But I'll give you two other things that are mind-boggling. If you told me this at the beginning of the series, I would have said, no way this happens. In game two, at Madison Square Garden, the game was tied with under 1 minute to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks lost to the Detroit Pistons.
That's right.
In game five, it was a tie game with just over 3 minutes to go at Madison Square Garden in an elimination game.
Right.
And you lost.
I know it.
The idea, forget about blowing them out or crushing them, which is all fair, but not for this discussion. You had two moments in game two and in game five where you're in your own building.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in front of you. And they closed better than you did. And this is a young team. This is a team that's not nearly as talented. This is a head coach that's proven a lot less. For that to happen twice in this series is why everything's on the table now.
Well, it's also why people get on the head coach. Because, again, part of it is schematics. But part of it is want to. Part of it is motivation and desire. And it just doesn't feel there. And that's unacceptable, man. You're a good team and you know it. You have some really good players. Cat, Jalen Brunson, Hart, all these guys, we know that they're good players, and you're getting outplayed by a young upstart team that has maybe one good vet in Tobias Harris. Like, what are we talking about when we're talking about this series? It gets frustrating.
Let's go to Bill in Brooklyn. How are you, Bill?
Hello, Bill. I'm just a depressed Knicks fan. I got a lot to get off my chest. If I could say a few things, when you want to stop me, stop me. The first one is JR. Without that trade, if we had Julius Randle, he was not making that fadeaway in that three. Julius Randle, he would be down 3-2. He would have shot an air ball and be looking at his hands for 10 minutes. So Cat saved us, being going down 3-2 to Detroit.
Right.
Second one, Kiki, you're saying it. You're totally right. It's coaching. It's sad to say it, but you got Terry Collins leaving in Matt Harvey. You got Aaron Boone putting in Nestor Cortez. You got Mark Sanchez, the butt fumble. These are things that live in our memory as New York sport fans. And I'm sorry to say it. If we go down, the image of Brunson and Hart at the scorers table is going to be what Tom Thibodeau was summed up as his run here in New York.
That's horrible.
No, I think you're right. Because when you blow a 3-1 lead, which is rare, we remember the Knicks blowing a 3-run lead about 25 years ago, but that was the fight series. Mm-hmm. That was the coming off the bench series. And that's what we remember about that. We remember coming off the bench, the suspensions, and then eventually losing to Miami in 7. If they lose this series in 7, and obviously there are a lot of other things that are going to happen
right. That
will get us to that point, including losing a 7th game at Madison Square Garden for the second consecutive year. But I do agree that the image of Thibodeau with that look on his face as he's standing there allowing the clock to tick, 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 while Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart look frustrated as all hell standing there.
Right.
That's the image of the series.
And there's nothing happening on the court that's going to... It's like there's no direction to... Whatever, you don't want to foul, obviously, because you give away points, but you got to do something.
Well, that's why the Evan idea was invented.
Of course.
Deuce McBride should have thrown the ball off, Cade Cunningham's leg, goes out of bounds, dead ball, boom, you make your substitution.
But even if he doesn't know or can even think about the Evan idea, just call the damn timeout.
Or that.
Man.
Yeah.
I get it, and I don't understand why people have called up and said, you got to save the timeout because that's like giving away possession and yada, yada.
No.
You can't challenge. You have your best player on the sideline. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Are you all right, Tommy? You tweeted a lot about the Mets last night, so I assume you're in a good mood.
Ah.
I assume you're in a good mood.
You know, there's a scene in Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry doesn't want his buddy's girlfriend monitoring his bathroom habits. I don't like you monitoring my Twitter habits. Mm. I tweeted about the Knicks, too. I can't tweet about the best team in baseball. What's wrong with that?
You could tweet however.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, you're publicly shaming me. You're being passive aggressive.
No, I said that you're probably in a good, like, I'm in a good mood today.
I'm in a great mood about the Mets, of course.
I'm in a great
Not
mood
about
today.
The Knicks.
But are you in a good mood today? Feels like you're in a better mood today because the Mets are buzzing.
Not only buzzing,
all
I
New
mean
York baseball should be buzzing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How about the Yankee game last night? Oh right. My God! Home run!
Second time this season.
Jeez,
you know
that's history making. Crazy.
We're doing a lot of bashing of the Knicks, and rightfully so; they deserve it. But how about we talk about the Pistons? If this was the Bucks last night,
who
the Knicks
hell cares about the Pistons?
Because you're just making it like, oh, they should just blow them out. They would have blown the Bucks out. They would have blown the Magic out. The Pistons are really good. The Pistons beat them 3 out of 4 this year, and you told me the regular season doesn't matter. Clearly does, because they obviously match up very well with the Knicks. They remind me of the Knicks last year. One superstar player, and then a lot of guys that play defense, get rebounds, clutch, you know, veteran players. You keep saying they're young, but they have a lot of veteran players that come in handy at late in games.
I don't think they're very good. Mm. I got to be honest with you, and I've watched this entire series.
Right.
And I give J.B. Bickerstaff a ton of credit, and Cade is growing as a great young player in this league. I don't think you should be 3-2 right now. I think you're a far more talented team.
It could be worse than 3-2.
Absolutely. I mean, every game could have gone either way.
Right.
Except for game 3, because the Knicks pretty much led the entire second half.
Yeah.
And I get your point, TK. Maybe we just overrated the Knicks. Fine. I'm just telling you, talent-wise,
No.
The Knicks are far better.
You're right. They are better. On paper, they should be significantly better. But this is why I keep coming back to coaching. because they don't play well together, right? The ball doesn't move like it should. The games that they run, the pick and pops, you don't see it happening.
No, you're right.
I know Brunson's on the bench, but hell, still run it. You know what I mean? These other guys know how to handle the ball as well. So to me, you can't look at a talented team and just say the players aren't performing. Because it doesn't always come that. Well, it goes all the way back to that conversation we had after game two where Cat's in the corner. Mm-hmm. Cat's not standing in the corner because he feels like picking his underwear out of his crack, right? He's standing over there because he's told to go over there. And look, Jalen Brunson doesn't find him, and it is what it is, but that's coaching to me.
I get you. Tom Thibodeau's getting a lot of heat. Players are getting a lot of heat. I got a new one for you. I got a new group of people that's taking a lot of heat. And this comes from, in my opinion, one of the most respected voices in Nick fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show, guy who was on with us about 2 weeks ago, the great CP the Franchise. You respect CP?
Yeah, of course.
You respect CP, Tommy?
CP's of course.
You respect CP?
I'd never blow my nose in a shirt he handed me.
I never did that.
That's true, you disrespect him.
Well, CP not only hosts Knicks Fan TV, which I'm a huge fan of, but he was in the building last night. I was in the building last night. I was sort of planning on being in the building last night, then I accidentally sold them. Things happen. I don't know. But we'll be in the building Saturday. At least I will, with somebody. But CP was in the building. And I want you to take a listen to his analysis of you guys out there. Mm. Of the fans last night at Madison Square Garden, specifically in his section, and what he witnessed.
Well, we had so many people that was in, like, just regular clothes, corporate clothes, street clothes. Nobody in Knicks gear, nobody standing up, nobody rocking any towels that they gave out. Garden vibes was terrible in this game.
The Garden vibes were terrible in this game. One more from CP.
MSG was weak. It was weak tonight, bro.
MSG was weak tonight.
Weak.
So what the hell happened? This is the world's most famous arena. This is the loudest arena. Oh, the best. It's a playoff basketball. Madison Square Garden's like nothing else. This isn't me being a jerk because I wasn't there. So I'm not telling you this. I'm listening to the most respected voice in Knick fandom who's telling you, quote, it was whack last night. How do you answer?
I mean, I wasn't there, and so I don't know or why. I think it's because the Knick fan is depressed by the lack of, I don't know, goodness. It doesn't feel good. How do you feel good about this Knicks team? They should have finished this series already. And so you could tell from the very beginning of the game, this wasn't a closing game. You could tell. Mm. And so if I'm the Knicks fan, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Last thing I am is loud and, I don't know, raucous. So I get it.
So Madison Square Garden, Sean, turned into Barclays Center last night.
No, yeah. Barclays is always packed.
Well, and the thing is, the Barclays speakers are louder, too.
Right.
So it's not even that quiet.
Those people love
Look, Evan, I think there's a couple things at play here. For Knicks fans, whether they like it or not, they've entered a territory that Yankees fans have been in. Maybe one day Mets fans will be in, Rangers fans have been in, which is, it becomes old hat to keep making the first round year after year. And then on top of that, you throw in the fact that maybe the tickets get a little more expensive. People start looking ahead, saying, I'm not going to go to this round. And I think you have a mishmash of non-belief, non-true, like, ampness for playing the Pistons, and priced outness. I think you throw all those things in a blender.
What do you want from me? I mean, what do you want from me? I was thinking about this last night. Like, the Knicks are putting me in a very, very, very awful, awful position. Obviously, dudes, dogs, damage. I will stand by that. I will die on that hill. But damn it! Can they act like it for once this season? And I have to sit here with Evan and Sean and die this slow death. Thank you.
You're right over there.
I'm trying to go to bed last night. I'm like, I am dying. I am dying such a slow death here. You know it's going 7. You know Evan's going to the game. You know Patrick's not going to be able to make it out here. You know I'm going to the building with you. Then I got to hear from CP that the fans last night stunk because it's corporate America. And I'm doing everything I can to defend because I will. But geez.
I think corporate America can be loud. I think the reason they weren't is
when the stock market's up.
That's true. Everybody's taking a bath.
No tariffs.
Tariffs? No, we don't have tariffs. Yeah, we do. No, we don't. Yeah, we do.
That's a good analysis.
Yeah, I think that you hit on it, bro. You, Tiki. Yeah. I think that Knicks fans are down.
You're just anxious.
No, like, they're anxious and they're down.
You're like, you don't want to cheer yet.
But what's crazy to me is if there's ever a moment to not be anxious and down and really feel that energy is when you're up 3-1.
Agreed.
Because when you walk into a building like that, like if you were in Madison Square Garden last night and you're a Knicks fan, you weren't there just because someone gave you free tickets or you know somebody, like you're a Knicks fan, wouldn't you walk into that building knowing, all right, I feel free because even if we do lose, I got two more cracks at.
Exactly right.
So if there was ever going to be a building that was electric, I would have assumed last night. And I raise my hand when I say this. It's why I do think it's important to go to games. It's why, jokes aside, I have to tell my wife because she just, you know, ripped my pants off basically. But I do want to go to game seven, whether it's with a Piston fan like Patrick or with you, Tommy Lugo. I want to go. I think it's important. I want to be in the building. I want to taste it. Big Show Bob. I'm at Madison Square. Honey, I'm going to text her now. I don't give a damn what plans we have Saturday. Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. But you don't feel a building until you're in it.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do with what?
In game seven. What, sitting up on the bridge.
I'm going to watch it.
Are you going to cheer?
Yeah.
Are you
going to root for my boys?
Who are your boys?
Come on. You know who my boys are. My boy Cade? My boy Timmy H. Jr.? Stop. My boy Jalen Duren? Come on.
No. You missed the main one you're going to root for.
Tobias?
No.
Mr. Long Island? Oh, my guy. The man who is a winner.
He's a pest.
The man who knows how to get under your skin.
Pain
of course,
ass.
We're talking about Dennis the Menace Schroeder.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder, who actually might screw two New York teams this year. Knock the Knicks out and the reason the Nets aren't picking in the top five.
They didn't need to take D'Angelo Russell back now, did they? wait, was that that trade? No, it was not that trade. That was Dorian Finney-Smith. Yes. I get confused now.
I kind of forget he was on the Nets this year.
The Nets started winning. They were like, we got to trade you, Dennis.
Right.
I'll be in the building rooting. Actually, I will be very, very understated in the building. Mm. I want to respect you guys. Now, if I'm with my guy who's a Piston fan, I'll follow his lead because he's got big muscles.
Yeah,
so if he wants to go in on, yeah, enjoy basketball, I'll join in.
Right.
If I'm with
you
Tommy.
You feel safe.
I feel safe. If I'm with Tommy, oh, it's going to be great. I don't have to say anything. Just going to look at him. That's all I'm going to do. Be like, hey, what's going on, Tommy? Are you nervous? How you
feeling? I just bet the Knicks plus 125. Ooh, another miss from Bridges. Ooh, that had her hurt. Ooh, a quiet garden. Ooh, he's doing commentary the whole entire time.
So would you rather not go then?
No,
it's totally fine.
No, I do. I will be there, but it's just I know what I'm getting myself into. I just do. I just know what I'm getting myself into when it's. Look at that smile on your
what?
Face.
What? I'm excited.
Yeah, you suck.
I love sports. Sports is fun.
I'm sure you do. Especially when you're not dealing with this.
100%.
I can't even describe what I'm going through right now. It's hard to describe to the audience. I'm doing my
Tommy,
best. Just what I'm, my emotions
Tommy,
that I'm feeling.
Are you going to win game six to avoid this whole game seven mess?
This series is going to game seven.
Really?
Yes. Mm. I told you yesterday
you
I didn't have confidence.
Six, so just have faith in your prediction. Your series prediction.
That was last week, Tommy.
It was six.
It was six.
It was the same as me. Yes, I'm trusting they're going to win in Detroit. We should be there. We'll be there in spirit. And some correspondent's going to call us in, tell us what's going on.
Like it's Iraq. Exactly. We now go to Detroit live.
I mean, I would make a bad pun, but that was years ago. But look, they're going to win in six. Have faith, man.
Yeah, why'd you lose so much faith?
Yes.
Kind of disappointed in you.
Because I put my faith in them, and every time I'm ready to just really bang the drum, we get last night. Mm. Oh, the chemistry's back, and then it's not back.
Right.
Or, oh, our head coach, you know, basically puts his hands in his pocket. He doesn't call timeout, which is coaching malpractice when your best player is at the scoring table. And we haven't really touched on it, but we brought up Jalen basically, you know, getting hurt and leaving every game. Well, bit him in the ass last night. Now, it's because
the
coach is an idiot, but it's also because he was hurt and getting out of leave to
I
game.
I wonder what Jalen Brunson was saying on the score table. Like, I wonder if he was saying, coach, call the bleeping timeout.
Mm.
Like, seriously, get me back in the game. Or was he just standing there waiting?
It appeared, and Josh after the game was like, because he didn't take the bait on, hey, what were you thinking as you were standing there? Like, they both gave classy answers. So they didn't say it, and I didn't get the sense that they were...
It didn't look like it.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense they were cursing Thibodeau out.
But I wonder, why wouldn't you? Right? I'm trying to think. If this is a playoff game, and Jim Fossil has me on the sideline in a critical moment, I'm in his grill. Like, Jim.
Coach.
Right. No, I'd say, coach, coach, coach. And if he didn't respond, I'd say, Jim. Right? Get me back in a damn
game.
No,
I get you. I get you. We didn't see that from them last night. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Before we get back to your angry Nick calls at 888-808-1019, there were other things in basketball last night that were very intriguing, like the Boston Celtics playing with their food and then destroying the Orlando Magic in the second half. They have advanced, so officially, if the Knicks can advance, they would take on the Boston Celtics. And we also saw an incident between Giannis Antetokounmpo and the dad of Tyrese Halliburton after the Milwaukee Bucks got knocked out. And so I saw the video of them, you know, going face-to-face and jawing at each other. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what happened? Like, what did Tyrese Halliburton's dad say to Giannis? Did he come down and mock him? Like, what happened? So I could not wait to listen to Giannis Antetokounmpo after the game. And so he was asked about what happened. And I'm not even kidding you. He gave a 3.5-minute soliloquy about, you know, I'm not a sore loser. I have won a championship. Those guys haven't. But I want to summarize Giannis's point into about 8 seconds. This is what he claims Tyrese Halliburton's dad did on the floor after the Pacers eliminated the Bucks.
Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This... I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
So his dad came on the floor with the face of Tyrese Halliburton on a towel and screamed, I'm going to reenact this. I'll be Tyrese's dad. You'll be Giannis. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. What a loser. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he is a loser. Wow.
Not Giannis, by the way.
No, Tyrese is dead. Yeah. Now, maybe, you know, he was hammered or something, but I'd rather have that excuse for him. Because that is ridiculously disrespectful, and I'm surprised Giannis didn't want to and almost punch him.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Now, he could have.
And he should have, because you're not supposed to be on the court doing stupid stuff like that. It would have been completely justified.
Yeah. It was a very physical, kind of dirty...
Has he apologized?
Tyrese Halliburton did.
Like, no,
Tyrese,
has his father apologized?
Have you heard anything from Tyrese's dad? I have no idea.
I haven't.
I haven't. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton took ownership after the game and said, look, I'm going to talk to him. You can't do that. And so he gave all the right answers.
Dude, that's a clown move.
Very much so.
I mean, that's just, it's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if I was Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, I'm sure he was. Especially in such a proud moment because the Pacers advanced. They look really good in doing so.
And he's great.
And he's playing out of his mind.
Right.
Did we bring up Giannis Antetokounmpo? We did. Can you get that clock ready, Tommy? I'm sorry. Wasn't my fault. Tiki brought up Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that leads me to having to call a timeout. Hold on, let me get my button ready. Hold up, that's not the button. Hold on one second. We're calling a Giannis Antetokounmpo Brooklyn Nets timeout.
This Brooklyn Nets timeout is brought to you by Evan. You're a loser.
30 seconds. I can talk about the Nets. Play the clock. We can't trade for this guy. Like, seriously. What? Sean Marks, if you're out there, take your first round picks, and I got this brilliant idea. Draft good young players. Don't try. You stop. You. I thought he stopped the clock. Oh, I'm screwed on my time. Like, don't trade for Giannis. That's a dumb move. That's a clown organization move. Build it the right way. I don't need this guy on my team. Do not trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's an awful idea. Save your picks. Draft good young players. And let's go from there. I got it off in time.
You barely. Tommy let you go an extra 2 seconds.
Because we had a clock malfunction.
Because we had a clock malfunction.
You know who I blame for this? Tyrese Halliburton's dad. If he didn't get in the face of Giannis, I wouldn't have brought up Giannis and I wouldn't be talking.
The hapless Nets.
What are you going to do when Giannis actually does get traded?
To the Nets?
To the Nets.
To the Lakers.
If he gets traded to the Lakers,
if he gets traded to the Lakers, I'm calling the commissioner.
Yeah, well, who cares? They still won't win anything.
I mean, come on. Luka? LeBron at 41?
Yeah, no.
It'll
end badly. I'll tell you why.
Why?
LeBron James is getting old. Like, you're seeing it right now.
But he doesn't need to play every minute.
How much longer is he going to play?
Whatever. Make him an assistant coach.
Okay.
Make him an assistant player coach so he can come in and get some bench minutes.
He's also, like, not the same guy. Like, in any way. You can target him defensively.
Okay. Forget LeBron.
Okay, let's get to Giannis.
And Luka?
No. The reason I don't want to trade for Giannis is because I think he's going to age horribly. I don't think his game, because he doesn't have an outside shot, he's never developed it,
right.
And his physicality is going to crumble as he gets older. Like, I don't think, you know what he is?
I can see that.
I'm going to go extreme. He is a more athletic version and a bigger version and a better version of Russell Westbrook.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely. And the way he's going to age.
A championship, dude.
I said better. I said the way he's going to age is going to be similar to Russ, who's now just a role player.
Yeah.
He's a role player. You're looking at Giannis like he's a franchise cornerstone.
I think you're the only reason you can potentially be right is because big men tend to age poorly.
And big men who can't shoot.
And big men ultimately all become role players.
Okay, so then where am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I don't trade for him. And if the Lakers trade for him, I won't even sweat. I'll be like, okay, whatever. Like, it wouldn't faze me. I'd be like, good luck.
No, he's in there in the West, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Send him out West.
Okay. Maybe the Nets still in the league.
Maybe the Knicks will trade for him after things go haywire in the first round against the Pistons. We'll be taking phone calls about that, by the way. You want to talk into the future? We will totally be taking. Do you think the Bucks will take Karl Anthony Towns back for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
What if you win the lottery and you get Cooper Flagg? Then when you want him?
If the Nets win the lottery, we're having a different discussion. I'll leave it at that. And you know what? I won't have that discussion unless they win the lottery. I will not engage in hypothetical Nets win the lottery discussions.
My prediction, by the way, is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, it is. Let's go to Mike in Fishkill. How are you, Mike?
Evan, my OTC.
What's
my
up?
My original tribal chief. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. What's on your mind, man?
Ben Jay Uso, how we doing?
All's good.
Oh,
you're breaking up.
I'm sorry, Mike. It was a great intro, but unfortunately we can't hear you. I'll put you on hold if your line gets better. Marco's calling from Connecticut. What's up, Marco?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Huge Knicks fan. Very disappointed today. You know, I thought they were going to come out with some more energy last night, but they came out flat. But I just want to defend the Thibodeau a little bit for, you know, late game situation. You know, I thought Deuce McBride tried to foul Schroeder to get Jalen and Josh Hart in. So I did feel like there was an attempt to get those guys in the game. But also, can someone else step up on this team and, like, put some energy? Like, you're playing at home. It's a closeout game. You know, you're down 3 points. You know, campaign, can you put some energy into the team? Like, OG, can you step up and make a basket at the end? I just felt like overall it was flat from the beginning, and I'm disappointed they couldn't close it out. I'm confident going into game 6 that we're going to take care of business. But if we lose and it goes game 7, they've outplayed us at home, and I don't even want to think about it. But I just, Tom Thibodeau, you know, he doesn't deserve all the heat. Players got to step up. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, but I mean, who do you blame when you're...
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Your team is flat.
The coach.
Right.
Yeah, that's the answer. Who do you blame when you come out flat in the third quarter, too?
Right.
The coach.
The coach.
And it's been consistent.
And
coach is getting the blame.
Look, this is a cliche that's been around forever, but teams tend to take on the personality of the coach. And so when they play with a ridiculously high level of energy or high IQ or whatever description you want to throw out there, a lot of that is because that's what the coach is directing. That's what you're getting. It's what he's giving off. That's what he's projecting upon the team. And then therefore, that's how they play. It's hard not to put some of this blame on the head coach and what he's projecting on this team.
Well, I remember when this series began and it annoyed me, but it was happening. There was a constant conversation of, boy, if they ever lost this series, the coach would lose his job, right? And I tried to shoot that down, but we talked about it kind of almost a little bit.
Right.
If they lost this series now,
after being up 3-1,
with a 3-1 series lead,
and losing two games at home,
three games at home, right, including what happened in game 5, I think it's going to be impossible for him to keep his job. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's crazy That's just the situation. Now, the good news is everything's right in front of them. But I think what's unfortunate about what happened last night and the missed opportunity of last night is it really makes the chances of you beating the Celtics 10 times more difficult.
Right.
You need to be fully healthy when you're facing the Boston Celtics. And Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, even though they will play game six, are banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson's ankle's bothering him every other minute.
Yeah. I'm less concerned about Josh because it's a wrist injury. And he can be who he is, even if his shooting is compromised a little bit with a wrist injury. I'm worried about Jalen.
Oh, you should be.
It's every game.
And he didn't play well in the most recent game.
Right.
Harrison in Jersey City. How are you, Harrison?
Good. How you doing, guys? Thanks for getting me on.
What's up, man?
So I'm like in perfect step with both of you guys. I found the Knicks very clunky and also very casual last night.
And
I feel like it was emphasized by, of course, the end of the game with Tip. You know, I'm sitting there being like, we got to call that timeout. I see it like you, Tiki. Everyone's valuing this timeout that really has no value when the game's over and you have less points. You gotta get the best guys on the floor.
Right.
And one point I want to throw in, watching the end of the game, I want to know if anyone else had this issue. I was watching the national broadcast. I swear, there was still like 6 seconds left of the game. It was after the Bridges three. I was forced to watch the opening tip of the Nuggets game. And then I was flying around trying to figure out what was going on. Anyone else find that?
I did not deal with that because I was watching Ian and TNT early,
right.
And then I flipped to MSG in the second half for whatever reason. No knock on Ian, but I kind of want to get the local feel. I heard from a buddy of mine the same thing happened.
Wow.
So I don't know how common this was, but that they flipped it
to
the Denver game.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Like,
what
the first 5 minutes of the Denver game means nothing compared to the clutch moment at the end of the Knicks game.
I'm going to ask my buddy, like, if he was watching on a streaming service. I don't know if that would be different. If you were watching it on regular cable, or if you're watching on a streaming service, or where he was watching it. But I heard that from him, where he said, they flipped off of it.
Wow.
In fact, I heard it on his podcast called Bad Weather Fans, where he, Mike, a Net fan, and his friend Alex, a Knick fan, yell at each other and talk Knicks Nets. In this case, Knicks, because obviously the Nets are relevant. I heard him say it. They flipped it off. Where were you watching the Knicks game that they flipped it off? I'll give you an update, because our last caller isn't the only one. That's for sure. Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. Good afternoon, Kendrick.
It is a good afternoon, Evan.
Kendrick, you're my man, Kendrick. By the way, if you guys missed this, this happened last week when we were at the American Dream, the draft. Kendrick brought me the only jersey I ever would have wanted if I was a jersey collector. We couldn't afford jerseys when I was growing up, so I didn't have any. But I wanted a Walter Payton jersey.
Yes.
Kendrick gave me his Walter Payton jersey.
What a gift.
You're the man, Kendrick.
You really are, Kendrick. That's a class move by you.
I appreciate that. And, of course, and the timing was impeccable, Tiki. Like I told you last week, at my parents looking at the basement. I found it 20 years after I packed it away from high school. And then 2 days later, you mentioned that. It was unbelievable. But it's been a good week since I saw you guys as a coalition member. So I do want to give my coalition take.
Haters!
And I want to give my IBO take.
All right.
So coalition take here, guys. Every year around this time, I do a consensus of coalition members, wondering like how we've grown in numbers and why people decided to join us. And this year, more than ever in the past, I'm finding that our coalition is growing with Knick fans.
Mm.
See, Knick fans are starting to hate themselves. And I'm going to give you the two reasons why I've been told.
Interesting.
One, who doesn't hate themselves when they wake up after a one-night stand and realize they're dealing with a two? As I've told you, Tom Thibodeau, year after year, goes from a 10 to a 2 regular season to playoffs. And more Knicks fans can no longer deny it. The second reason is that Knicks fans have realized that they signed a lease with two roommates who always locked themselves out. See, last night, your two roommates who convinced the team to get a team pet, a little cat, and now we have to deal with all of the nonsense, and they're always locking themselves out. Who wouldn't hate themselves if you realize those two things in life? So that's my coalition take, fellas. But here's the IBO.
That was a good one.
Because I love basketball. I appreciate it, Tiki. Here's my IBO take. I called Tommy on Saturday. I love basketball. And what I'm finding out is I love watching basketball, rooting against the team, because I can enjoy really good competition
yes.
without feeling any anxiety.
Yes.
So this series,
yes.
this series, it's weird for me. I want it to continue, and I root for the Knicks only to allow the series to continue, but now I have to turn attention to the Pistons. And so here's my thing with the IBO. One, Tom Thibodeau as a coach malpracticed yesterday. You can only control what you can control, and right. that is you have to call a timeout. Because here's the thing. Yes, you might lose a challenge. You don't know if that's going to happen. But what you're going to do at the end of a game, guys, is you're going to most likely have to foul. And during those foul shots, you have opportunities to communicate to your team
100%.
What needs to get done.
Right. There's
and
ways
that,
to mitigate.
That allows correct. And that allows the game to feel more natural. The second thing, as the minutes police has more than one department. It's not just a medical injury issue. The other thing is chemistry and trust. Last night, when you saw Campaign and Deuce McBride out there in the moments they've never been in,
yeah.
they look like deers in headlights.
100%.
And that's on the coach, and that's also on the minutes. Because like when Mikal Bridges said during the season, there are other guys who earn opportunities or need opportunities, it's for moments like this. And as a coach, you have to prepare not just for a plan A, but a B, a C, and a D. And last night, you could tell that Campaign, an energy guy, a caller brought it up, he's an energy guy in the third quarter, in
right.
the second quarter.
Right.
But
not,
when the lights are bright,
not in crunch time.
No, other than game one where he was electric.
Thank
remember
you,
game one where the 21-0 run was going on. But outside of that, you're right. We don't see Campaign in crunch time minutes.
That's what I was alluding to when you talk about Jalen Brunson not being on the court in those last couple of minutes, and Cam is out there and Deuce is out there. Like the games that they're not happening, and so it just becomes a waste of the talent that's on the court. And so one, you have your best player sitting on the sideline waiting to get checked back in, and then you have your guys that are out there supposedly capable of handling this moment not doing it.
Right.
All right. It's just it's like. You're not going to win those situations.
And
again, that's coaching.
And anytime you make a decision, or at least anytime I try to make a decision, I look at worst thing that can happen, best thing that
yes.
can happen, right? When there is a clock ticking on the final 2 minutes of a basketball game and Jalen Brunson is ready to check back in along with Josh Hart,
mm-hmm.
but really Jalen Brunson, and I am now trailing in this game, the worst case scenario of me calling a timeout is, okay, I get my best player in, and the worst-case scenario is I don't have a timeout.
Right.
Okay, I can't advance the basketball. Kendrick pointed it out. There are going to be other times to kind of, for the clock to stop in other areas where you can communicate with your guys, but you're not going to be able to advance the basketball in a big spot. You won't be able to challenge a play if that happens. That's the worst-case scenario. Not ideal,
right.
but the other worst-case scenario is far worse, and that's the lever Tom Thibodeau pulled, which is, I never get my guy on the floor until we're down by 6 with 27 seconds to go, and effectively, the game is over.
Yep.
So
you can't control it at that point.
You can't. And so no one's saying the timeout doesn't matter. No one's saying it's no big deal. Of course it's a big deal. It's not ideal. It's not what you want, as Joe Girardi would say. But it's still the better option than letting it play out. Now, if you're just tuning in, I gave an even better option. I called it the Evan option. Which I'm stunned no one's brought up because
right.
I think it makes complete sense, which is at some point as Jalen Brunson is waiting to check in and you're on offense, Dennis Schroeder, where's that basketball? Did we lose it?
It's right there.
Oh, crap, it's right in front of me. Dennis Schroeder holds the basketball like I'm holding it right now. I'm faking a dribble, I'm looking around, and then boom, I throw it off of Tiki Barber.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
And now great. It's now
good
it's out of bounds.
Good play.
Thank you.
Good play,
Dave. Thank you. Thank you, Cade.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I just knocked it off Cade Cunningham. It's out of bounds. Dead ball. I make the changes. Boom. I just
I'll be on the sideline now, but you know, good play.
Right. I just took myself out of the game.
Right.
That's called preparedness. That's not a word. That's called preparation.
Yes.
I got it the second time. And I don't know why Tom Thibodeau or anyone else didn't think of that as a cheat code to getting an easy substitution.
Now, it's hard to execute that. It's probably not something they'd practice, but it's worth trying.
Whoa, hold on. Why not?
You mean why don't you practice?
You should practice everything.
But do you think the Knicks did? Clearly not, because they weren't prepared for that moment.
Look, I've never been in I'm not a professional athlete, obviously. But one thing I have so much respect for is when I hear managers or coaches talk mm-hmm. about, we prepare for every scenario.
Yes.
We have to be prepared for every scenario. You would have been prepared for every scenario under Jim Fossil or Tom Coughlin. So I'm just asking. Like, would Eric Spoelstra have his team prepared? I don't know. I'd love to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I don't see any flaw with my idea, especially when you're otherwise just going to wait 2 minutes and have your team just die a slow death.
Right.
In fact, I have a great question for you.
What's that?
It's an ISO question, Independent Sports Observer.
Mm, okay.
And then maybe Tommy and Sean will fight each other over it because I can see them having different interests. Which was a more pathetic 5 minutes? The Tom Thibodeau, hey, you know what to do, Jalen Brunson's on the bench, or the Yankees melting down in the fifth inning of the World Series?
Oh, you're going way back there.
Well, it's this season.
I know, but it feels like it was ages ago.
In real time, the most pathetic, I can't believe this, 5 to 10 minutes in real time. Yankee Game 5 meltdown or the Tom Thibodeau timeout?
I think it was the Tom Thibodeau thing.
Going Tom Thibodeau timeout is more pathetic?
Definitely.
Sean, your opinion on the subject?
It's clearly the Tom Thibodeau situation. You left your best player sitting there, your closer sitting there. Mm-hmm. It's so clear.
All right. Tommy?
I don't know how you could top your all-world player dropping a pop-up and your all-world pitcher not covering first base. In the World Series?
At least my all-world player was out there, Tom.
Yeah, he was out there throwing up all over himself because he dropped a fly ball. It wasn't the head coach that didn't call a timeout. It had nothing to do with Brunson. The coach didn't call a timeout to get him out there. And they should have done Evan's plan, which I am going to call Preparation H. It's good on the whole.
You like that? Yeah. I'm trying to think about the answer to that question, which one's more pathetic. Part of me is like, I'm in the World Series, so that's kind of cool. Like, that's not pathetic. But a drop fly ball from my all-world center fielder?
Yeah, but he just took his eye off of it for a second. He was looking ahead. He was trying to be too, I don't know, cute.
I kind of think it's the Yankees. I think I'm on Tommy's side.
So we're 2-2 here.
Huh. Okay.
What? Were you mad at me?
He was in the building. Evan was there. He I was in the building. For the Yankees.
Exactly.
Meltdown.
So were you.
And I think that's clouding it because you got to see me melt down in a Spanish broadcasting booth and be on the verge of tears.
There you go. Tears.
I think you're very close to it.
They brought you to tears.
Guess what? I mean, if you actually had the stones to go to a game, maybe you would have
been. Well, I would have went to the game if Evan actually didn't sell his tickets and brought me to the game.
I was planning on it, too. Can you imagine if we were there for that? Are you glad I sold my tickets?
No. I wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think we would have said on the Chase Bridge as Tom Thibodeau had that dopey look on his face, allowing Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart to stand there? Like, what would
call
we
call a timeout, you idiot! Call a timeout!
I wonder if anybody was actually screaming that in the arena.
Nobody was screaming
anything. Well, nobody in the front row was because they're all looking at their phones because they're celebrities posting selfies.
No, but I mean, honestly, like, sometimes the fan tells you what you need to hear. Get Brunson in the game.
Yeah.
Call a time. Like, is anybody saying that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because you know why? I think that a lot of times you're focused on the floor and you're watching what's happening and you're not thinking about the fact, especially in the final 2 minutes, that Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson are just standing right there.
You just assume that it's like, oh, the coach has put the team in the best position to win. When in actuality, he did not.
I'll tell you one thing. If that's Aaron Judge, he's yelling at Aaron Boone to call a timeout because he wants
is
back
he?
Back.
Oh, shut up.
I don't know. Aaron Judge doesn't seem to have that personality.
Certain people fit to be king, demand to be back in. That's all I'm saying.
I don't, but what evidence do you have that Judge would be that kind of guy?
But that's what I ask about Brunson. Yeah. Is he like imploring his head coach to let him back in the game?
No, I think he was just standing there.
Which is bizarre to me.
Yeah, like there are certain guys who I agree with you, Sean, would be screaming, but I don't know if I would just assume Aaron Judge is that kind of guy.
Aaron went out of his way to tell the organization he wants more say in everything.
Yeah, but that's a private thing. This would have to be a public.
He talked about it. It was public.
No, but I mean like a public screaming at your manager, or in this case, your coach? I don't know about that. I've never seen that from Judge.
In game 5, a closeout game for us that against a team that we should have an advantage over, I would have been screaming at my coach.
Well, I know you would have. You would have been like, Jimmy, Tommy, get me in this freaking game. What the hell's wrong with you?
Hell, they couldn't get me off the field. Hey, Brandon's coming in. No, he's not.
We'll get back over there. We'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, Met fans, Yankee fans, can't forget about you. The Mets are so hot. It's leading to a very popular question that we've talked about off air that I will bring on air, which is there actually more juice in this city right now for the New York Mets than there even are the New York Knicks, who are in the middle of the postseason? We'll address it coming up.